My guest at this time is Joe Lupino Esposito. He's a policy analyst for Right on Crime and the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. In a recent opinion piece for the Washington Examiner, Joe outlined why it is time for criminal justice reform. And he says it's actually advancing quite well on conservative principles. He's here now to explain why he believes this is an urgent issue and what conservative criminal justice reform looks like. And Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Why is this issue coming to a head right now?
Well, I think it's sort of been a long time coming, at least at the federal level. At the state level, we've seen this brewing for quite some time, starting with Texas in 2007. What was able to be accomplished there was simply improving public safety while also saving money. And these type of reforms, obviously very conservative principles at play here, are now being used in other states. We're looking at South Carolina and Georgia and several others. And now I think folks in Washington have finally taken notice.
And one of the things you talk about in this opinion piece is that certain laws, especially ones that carry significant mandatory minimum sentences, were often designed to get major criminals like drug kingpins, and it ended up sending people away, sometimes for life, for having small amounts of drugs in their possession. But a lot of times, of course, involvement with drugs leads to other criminal behavior. So by lessening sentences in that arena, how do you know that you're improving public safety, or at least keeping public safety where it is, while giving these folks another chance?
It is a somewhat, I don't want to say complex, but it is a little bit more involved process, which is why it's so important that more comprehensive legislation comes out. So if you take a look at what usually happens, you don't want to just simply look at the type of offense that was committed that time or that person who's incarcerated. You want to look at, obviously, their history. You also want to see, what other aspects of their life could be improved. So if you're looking at an addiction situation, there may be ways to help the person in that way, and that may be what is motivating their criminal activity. So it's really an overall approach that you need to be taking, using risk assessments and really carefully considering these options. And I think a lot of this legislation that talks and specifically focuses on recidivism rates is really what is most important. We want to ensure that people are, doing their time for the crimes they've committed, but once they are released, because most people that are incarcerated are eventually released, there has to be a way to ensure that they are not going to go back to a criminal life.
And how does the current legislation on either side of Capitol Hill address that, in your opinion, effectively?
Well, I think it's very effective in the current Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act that's happening on the Senate side, is that it does take sort of that approach where we're looking at both ends of the spectrum. First, we're looking at people who are coming in and what they're being sentenced for and to what levels. Because what we're trying to do here is figure out what the good number is for what people should be, put away in prison for. It's not going to be some sort of indefinite period of time. It's going to be a set amount of time. And we need to understand where they fall in the organizations, if it's a drug offense or whatever the case might be. These laws are specifically targeting drug offenders. But then on the other side of it, we're also looking at what they can do once they're behind the wall, as we like to put it. Once they're behind the wall, they can earn good time credits. They can take GED classes. They can do things to, again, help them not wind up recidivizing and committing crime again. And then finally, we want to talk about how they are eventually released back into society, once they've done their time. Doing that, making sure there are halfway houses and proper programming for that will ensure public safety, because we're going to not just simply take someone who might have been in a cell for several hours a day and just release them back into a neighborhood. That's not something we want to do.
What's your reaction to what the Obama administration's been doing lately with the releasing of some thousands of offenders, I think most of them drug offenders? On the surface, it seems like you're kind of singing from the same hymnal here. Is it similar, or is he doing something remarkably different?
It is different. So what's happening there, this is from the Sentencing Commission, and about a year or so ago, they decided that they were going to change the guidelines. So they looked at these retroactively and said, well, for some of these people, and the people that are being released, and I believe the average is around 10.5 years was what they were sentenced to, and this reduction will result in an 8.5-year sentence. What we're advocating for is something that's a little bit more thoughtful, and again, it's a more holistic approach, I guess you could say, where we're looking at the entire system and saying, where can we improve things, both from the intake, once people are actually in prison, and then once they're released. And it's very important that we look at how things are done in the states, and these are the conservative states. A lot of red states, southern states that have been doing these reforms that really look at the whole system and don't just say, we're going to move some numbers around and move some prisoners around. This is sort of the approach that conservatives have been taking, and that's the one that we hope will actually come out of Congress this session.
There may be some folks out there saying, well, I've never been convicted of anything. I don't really know a lot of criminals. But you point out in your opinion piece that you don't actually have to be convicted to be the beneficiary of some of the things being discussed here, because principles like civil asset forfeiture are also being addressed here, where authorities can confiscate your things without even necessarily even filing charges, much less convicting you of anything.
Right, yeah, and unfortunately it's not in the bigger Senate package right now. That's still missing, and another concept about criminal intent called mens rea is also missing. But to talk about civil asset forfeiture, what's really appalling there is exactly what you said. Based simply on suspicion of some sort of criminal activity, your money, your assets could be seized, your car could be seized. And mind you, this doesn't even mean you need to be charged with a crime. We had one person in particular who was traveling across the country that we were familiar with, and he had all of his life savings to make a music video out in Los Angeles. But when his train was stopped and he had a large amount of money on him, despite them calling his mother and despite everything that he could do to prove that this is not from drug money, the federal government simply said, look, we suspect this is from the drug trade, and therefore we're taking the money. And here's your receipt. We'll get back to you about it later. You can let us know if you want it back. And the problem is it's sometimes it's not really cost-effective to try to get it back.
A couple of quick questions before we let you go here, Joe. First of all, when the legislation is officially brought to the floor here of the Senate and the House, respectively, what absolutely has to be in and what should absolutely not be in?
Absolutely needs to be in a lot of the principles we talked about, the steady conservative principles. We want to ensure that public safety is there. This is not just sort of a release every other prisoner scheme, and that's not what's been proposed, luckily. We also want to ensure that victims are also supported here as well, that they are not left out of the process. And finally, we want to make sure that there's clear fiscal responsibility. There's going to be some savings here. And that's really sort of the bonus in all of this, is that what we found that the longer prison sentences are less effective than the alternatives to incarceration, which in most cases are less expensive than incarceration. So those all need to be in there. We'd also definitely like to see this piece on mens rea. What that means is that you actually have to have the criminal intent to commit a crime. So in the same way that civil asset forfeiture, you don't even need to be accused of a crime. In this case, regarding problems with mens rea, you may be accused of a crime, but you did not have the intent to actually commit a crime. And with somewhere around 5,500 or more criminal statutory offenses on the books, plus, you know, a completely incalculable number of federal regulations that go back to criminal penalties, this is a major, major problem for a lot of people. And they're getting into the system for things other than drugs, you know, fishing or some other strange quirks in the regulatory schemes. And that is something I hope that can get into the federal legislation and fix that for the future.
And real quick, who are the main sponsors of these bills?
On the Senate side, we have Chuck Grassley has led a group of bipartisan senators. So he's been the lead, the Republican chairman of the Justice Judiciary Committee, along with several Democrats, Cory Booker, Dick Durbin, and then also John Cornyn, who's the whip from Texas. And a Republican. And on the House side, we've seen a few different pieces of legislation. The most recent one came from the chairman over there, Bob Goodlatte, a Republican from Virginia. And we also saw earlier legislation from Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, a Republican, and Bobby Scott, a Democrat from Virginia.
We'll certainly be watching. Thanks for helping us understand what's at stake here, Joe. I really appreciate your time today.
All right, thank you for having me.
Joe Lupino Esposito is a policy analyst for Right on Crime and the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He recently wrote on this in a column entitled Conservative Criminal Justice Reform is Alive and Well on Capitol Hill for the Washington Examiner. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.